The following is a lecture entitled How to Attain Namaruchi, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on June 29th, 2014 in Melbourne, Australia.
Vandeha. Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sajaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakandvitam Sha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gaudavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyadeshatarine. So, today we will talk about the name of Krishna and how to develop a taste for the name of Krishna. In Sanskrit language, this is called nama ruchi, a taste for the name. How to do that is very simply described in the Upadesha Amrita, the Nectar of Instruction, text number 7. Syat Krishna nama sadhitari sitap javirya pito pitasya rasana shanarochikanu kin vandana nirirankar shai varusha svadhi kramadad gadvanmuli svadhi kramadad bhavanmuli. How does that last line go? Svadhi kramadad bhavanmuli nahanti. Forgetting the last line. The English is, the holy name, character, and pastimes of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet, just like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one who is afflicted with the jaundice of avidya or ignorance cannot taste anything sweet, it is simply wonderful that by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within the tongue and one's disease is destroyed at the root. This verse gives the clue of how to actually achieve Namaruchi, a highly advanced stage of Krishna consciousness. You have to chant the names every day, but not just chant the names every day, you have to carefully chant the names every day. What does carefully mean? It means avoid the 10 offenses. You can't blaspheme devotees. You have to respect the devotees. Even if there's a disagreement, you have to respect devotees. You can't think Krishna is just another one of the gods. You can't disobey your spiritual master. You have to respect the Vedic literatures. You can't think the glories of the holy name are imagination. You can't give some interpretation on the name. You can't commit sinful activities on the strength of the name. You can't take the name as something to chant when your kids are taking finals so they make a better grade. Don't engage the holy name in your service or the service of your kids. The holy name is where you must surrender and give yourself. You understand? Otherwise, you'll never get the taste, the real taste for the name. Yeah. There are many preliminary steps before the taste becomes fully manifested also. These are described by Rupa Goswami. The first thing is you have to have faith in this process. First thing. Second of all, you have to associate with devotees. Because we develop our consciousness according to our association. If you associate with non-devotees, you're infected by that, both things, infected and affected by that association. We have to spend so many days, many of us in the workplace, associating with non-devotees. That means in your free time, you should find out devotees and associate with them during your free time as much as you possibly can. And then, in associating with the devotees, you see what the devotees are doing. They're following different principles. They chant so many rounds every day. They follow regulative principles. They eat only Krishna prasadam. They get initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, etc. Then you do that also. This is called bhajana kriya. This is the third stage of bhakti. And then the next stage, this is where the work really begins. The hard work, the struggle really goes on. This is called the anartana vritti stage. Because we have so much dirt sitting in our heart. We have lust. We have anger, isn't it? Greed. Madness. Illusion. Envy. These are six kinds of dirt which are sitting in the heart. So one has to work very diligently following the orders of one's spiritual master. And by doing so, gradually, this crud gets cleansed out of your heart and you achieve a stage called nishta, or actually anartha nivritti. And then from anartha nivritti you go to the nishta stage where you're completely fixed beyond any you don't have any doubts at all about Krishna consciousness. Neophyte devotees have a lot of doubts. They're trying it out, they have faith in it, but yet there's doubts also in their mind, you see. That's a neophyte devotee. They have Shraddha or preliminary faith, but there's still some doubts. Because of that dirt in the heart, the lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy, we still feel pulled towards sense gratification, away from bhakti. And that pull is justified by the doubts. They're floating around the brain, the mind, more accurately to speak. But after you get that dirt out of the heart, now your conviction is pakka, it's solid conviction, nishta, you're fixed up devotee. Now it's at this point that you can achieve the stage of namaruchi. It's a very highly advanced stage. Beyond when you're completely free from this, the anartas. So what about us struggling neophytes who are still battling it out with the anartas every day, the lust, the anger, the greed. Some of us can't even follow the regulative principles yet because of our lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. What about us achieving namaruchi? Well, you're not going to achieve the namaruchi stage yet, but by chanting, you'll get there. By chanting Hare Krishna, you will feel an awakening within your heart. You will feel an inclination towards accepting a spiritual master. By that chanting, the dirt will be cleansed out of your heart. So the point is this. The goal is pure chanting. And by chanting, even in the impure stage, that chanting will take you to the pure chanting. So you don't have to be in the states of pure chanting to do the chanting. We sometimes hear that argument. Well, you know, I really shouldn't chant Hare Krishna because my rounds are so offensive, so it's better I don't chant. I don't want to offend the holy name. But I'll tell you this clue. It's more offensive not to chant than it is to chant offensively. Because in the beginning, you're going to chant offensively. You have no choice. We are offenders against God. We have rebelled against Him out of envy. We've come here to try to be independent lords in this material world. It's natural in the beginning your chanting is going to be offensive. You can't avoid it. So you have to chant. And by that, with each mantra, you're becoming, every time you say the mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, with each mantra, you're becoming cleansed. To say, I can't chant because I'm offensive, that's Maya's trick to keep you from chanting. She wants to keep you in her clutches. So don't give in to Maya's trick. You need to chant Hare Krishna. You understand? You need to chant it. The holy name is enchanting, but right now we are not enchanted by the holy name. We are enchanted by the alluring material nature. That's what we are chanting with in the present time. But if you will chant, even though you're not yet enchanted by the name, if you will chant on the order of the spiritual master, your prescribed number of rounds every day, gradually, 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 your enchantment for the material nature will go down and an enchantment for the holy name will come up. You see. Namaruchi is when the material enchantment is totally gone. That's called Namaruchi. When you achieve that stage, if your body could do it, your mind could relish the holy name for 10 million years. You could go on just chanting the Hare Krishna mantra for 10 million years and never get bored. And becoming more enlivened with each recitation of the mantra. You see. The universes could come and go, you wouldn't care. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And civilizations can come and go. Australia could disappear from the world map. You wouldn't care, you just keep chanting, you see. The whole universe can be withdrawn into Mahavishnu's inhalation. You wouldn't care, you just keep chanting. You see, in the Namaruchi stage, you're completely satisfied by the mantra, you don't need anything else. It's all you need. It's Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So that's a very advanced stage. It's one step away from pure bhakti. You're right on the edge of pure bhakti when you get to Namaruchi. You're right on the edge of it. You're right on the edge. So to try to develop that taste for the holy name is very, very important. So let's look at that verse one more time, Rupa Goswami's verse. The holy name, character, pastimes, and activities of the Lord are all transcendentally sweet, just like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one who is afflicted with the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is indeed simply wonderful that by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. This is the advantage of Nam Yoga that we are practicing here, Mantra Yoga. Other methods of purification may cleanse you of karmic reactions, but they don't cleanse you of the tendency to again engage in sinful activities. Have you ever had a garden? And there's two ways to deal with the weeds. You can chop them off at the surface or you can pull them out by the root. Now, what will you, if you're a good gardener, what will you do? You chop them off at the surface? You may send your child out to the weed. My dear son, please go weed the garden. He comes back 10 minutes later, I weeded the garden. And then you go, tomorrow all the weeds are there. He just pulled them off of the surface. It looked like he weeded the garden. But tomorrow you'll see he didn't weed the garden, you see. So you have to pull these anarthas out by the root. And the chanting of the name will automatically do that. You don't have to focus on your anarthas. All you have to do is focus on the name and the anarthas will automatically become uprooted. Instead of lusting after women, I want to see the beautiful form of a naked woman, you see. Instead of that, I want to see the form of Krishna, that beautiful threefold bending form of Shyam Sundara, you see. that will naturally, that evolution of consciousness will naturally happen as you chant Hare Krishna. You become more satisfied by seeing Krishna than anything else in this world could ever satisfy you. So, are there any questions? How to overcome laziness? By love. If you love someone, service is not a chore, it's ecstasy. So you have to give your love to Krishna. Give your love to your guru. Give your love to the devotees. And then you won't feel like you're working. You'll feel like you're in ecstasy. You will be. How to do regular chanting and hearing every day? Well, do you have any trouble eating every day? Yeah, I really have a hard time working into my schedule, you know. I'm so busy. I don't have time for anything else except, but you're eating every day. You have to give more priority to feeding your actual self than feeding the covering of yourself. Your material body is not you. It's a covering of the self. You have to give more energy to feeding the actual self by chanting than you do by feeding your body, by eating. So if you'll understand things properly, you'll have no trouble chanting every day. How to remain enthusiastic in devotional service always? Well, for me, it was very easy. Prabhupada ordered me to always be enthusiastic. So on his order, I'm doing it, and it's ecstatic. So, how can you do it? Well, you can take my order, if you like. Or you can take Prabhupada's order to always be enthusiastic. We're both ordering. Prabhupada is ordering and I'm repeating his order. You should, all of you should always remain enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada's order is there and I'm repeating it on his behalf. If you take that order, Prabhupada said, continue enthusiastically as you were doing and surely Krishna will bless you. It's a fact. If you always remain enthusiastic in devotional service, Krishna will bless you. So now you can decide whether you want to take advantage of that or not. Do you want Krishna's blessings or not? Srila Prabhupada often mentions in his purport that Vishnu is an expansion of Krishna. However, in Srimad Bhagavatam or any Puranas, there is no specific reference to this. That's not true. You're not well read in the scriptures. Krishnashtu Bhagavan Svayam. In the script, first canto, all the list of incarnations are given, and it's clearly stated that Krishna is the original form. As Srila Prabhupada said, by chanting 16 rounds and following the four regular principles, one can go back to God. What about if envy is still there in our hearts? Can one go back to God with envy? Of course not. You're not going to go back to God if you're envy. You've got to come free from envy. Why do we have a sikha? The sikha is there so the spiritual master can grab you and pull you back to God. So keep a good sikha. One or two hairs isn't enough. If you have enough so that you can pick, hold your body weight. Actually, like a silver dollar, about that big is recommended. What is the ultimate goal of this human life to become a pure devotee and go back to Godhead? If you do not get a child naturally, does that mean your karma in the previous life is not good? Is it a boon or a bane? Well, it could be a boon. If your karma was to have a demoniac child and you didn't have that demoniac child, it was a boon not to have a child. The thing is, you have to become pregnant with Krishna consciousness. That's the pregnancy that's important. If you want to have a child, Prabhupada encouraged our householders They wanted to have children? Yes, I have two or three kids. Bhaktisiddhanta said, I'm prepared to have sex 100 times if I can produce saintly children. So if you want to try for children, then do that according to Prabhupada's principles. Prabhupada clearly states, this is for initiated devotees, that they have sex life once in a month, just after the menstrual period, after chanting 50 rounds of japa, man and wife both, 50 rounds of japa. That's the standard given by Prabhupada. In the Vedic culture, there was what's called garbhadang sanskara. Before having sex, to have a child, there was a whole ritual. They'd invite the Brahmins, they would chant mantras. It was just like a wedding ceremony. It was another samskara, the garbhadang samskara. That they would get the blessings of the Brahmins, of the Guru. So in our movement to have a saintly child, Prabhupada said you take permission from your spiritual master, and then just after the menstrual cycle, you chant 50 rounds of japa each, once in a month. Other than that, you practice brahmachari. If you do this sort of austerity, you'll have very good children, very, very good children. Otherwise, you may end up with some little brats. They cause so much trouble in your life. Naming newborn as Krishna or other names of Krishna, will it help? Yes. To name your child after Krishna or Ram or Govinda or Chaitanya, any name that's a name of God or a pure devotee. That way you're always chanting the name of a pure devotee or the name of the Lord. That's very auspicious. That's why Prabhupada gave us names. Like he gave me the name Sankarshan Das. A name for Lord Balaram, actually. Does that mean we don't have to chant japa? Well, Prabhupada said you should chant 50 rounds before conceiving the child.
No, I'm talking about regular basis, daily basis.
No, you obviously, we Prabhupada wanted us to chant. We need to chant. It's not that just he wanted it. We need to chant the names of God regularly because we're very much polluted by the material nature. We need to regularly chant the holy names of the Lord every day, at least 16 rounds. Maya, Krishna's sister, why is she perverting us from reaching Krishna? Actually, Maya is not there. Maya, or Durga Devi, is there to help you become Krishna conscious. She's the warden of the prison. Now, if you're completely engaged in materialist activities, she'll jab you with the threefold miseries. Her trident is the threefold miseries. That's to encourage you, what am I doing here? And then if you decide, yes, I want to become a devotee, she'll facilitate you. She'll help you become Krishna conscious. Should we send our child to a karmi school or a home school? If you can homeschool, that's very good. Some of our devotees have had very good luck homeschooling their kids. Or you can make your own school. One of the parents get together and make your own school for the kids. That's better. That's very good if you can do that. We recommend that. The bhakti creeper looks very simple to the Pooj, Lab, and Pratishtha creeper. How to differentiate them when you are advancing in Krishna consciousness. Take help from others. It's very difficult for us to see our own faults, but others can see our faults very easily. Take advantage of guru and senior devotees to help you find out your anarthas. How to make spiritual progress. That's described in the Nectar of Devotion. Number one, take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Number two, get initiated. Number three, obey his instructions. Number four, follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas under his guidance. Number five, inquire from the spiritual master how to advance in Krishna consciousness. Number six, be prepared to give up anything material or accept anything that you would not like to accept. Number seven, reside in a holy place or make your residence a holy place. Number eight, deal with the material world only as far as is necessary. Number nine, observe akadasi. And number 10, worship the Tulsi tree. If you'll do these 10 items which are listed in chapter 6 of the Nectar Devotion, how to discharge devotional service, you'll make very nice spiritual progress. How can we know what stage we are at from Shraddha to Prema? Well, are you initiated yet? Then are you associating with us? If you are and you're not initiated, then you're the Sadhusanga stage. If you're initiated, then you're the Bhajana Kriya stage. And to actually become a Paramahamsa is a very, very rare thing. So for most of us, we'll probably spend our life just fighting it out at the trying to achieve anartha nivritti to get rid of the lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. As long as you're struggling to be Krishna conscious, that means you haven't gotten to nishtha yet. You haven't achieved in the nishtha stage yet. So, because after anartha nivritti, there's no struggle. It just comes automatically. If you're struggling to get up early in the morning and have a Mangal Arati before sunrise every day, that's a struggle for you. Or you're not even doing it yet, you see. Then you haven't achieved anartha nivritti yet. So we shouldn't think, oh yes, Prabhu, I achieved Paramahamsa last night. It's not some cheap thing. You know, I'm seeing Krishna at every moment, so I'm a Paramahamsa. Even if we have to struggle our whole life, even if we're struggling up to the last minute, that's okay. If you're sincerely in struggling to be Krishna conscious, Krishna will see that and he'll take you back in spite of your imperfections, if you're making that sincere endeavor to become Krishna conscious. May I know your daily routine? Well, it varies a little bit. I mean, a typical day would be getting up at 2:30 in the morning, chanting japa, Mangal Arati, going over my, doing some shloka puja, studying different verses, writing my daily thought for the day, broadcast that goes out, assisting my wife. She does first-class deity worship, assisting her a little bit, not... She does 90% of the work. I'm just a little token, assisting her as much as possible. And then during the day, depends. Maybe giving a morning lecture and then giving darshans during the day. Maybe taking a little extra rest because we only got 4 hours or 3.5 hours the night before. It varies according to our situation. But we make the endeavor to get up very early every morning, 2:30, maybe 3 sometimes. We get to bed late. Get those rounds done early in the morning, make a solid foundation for the day. When we carefully chant the holy name, we should avoid offense. Should we avoid offenses only while chanting or all the time? Well, just think about it for a minute. Okay, I'm chanting my rounds, but then after my rounds are done, I'm going to smoke cigarettes, I'm going to blaspheme the devotees, I'm going to say Krishna's just one of the gods. I mean, it's common sense. You have to do it all the time. What is the role of the spiritual master in one's life? Well, he's the one who's taking the... When you get take diksha, you're making a commitment. I will serve this person's order. He is my authority now in my life. I will serve him. He's my authority. And what role does he take? He's taking the responsibility to deliver you, even if he has to go to hell to save you. Prabhupada said the spiritual master is thinking, let me go to hell, but somehow or other let these rascals become saved, you see. Spiritual master is willing to take birth after birth. When he gives diksha, a bona fide spiritual master is locking himself in. If you're sincerely endeavoring to become a devotee, he will take birth after birth if he has to save you. A bona fide spiritual master will not go back, will stay in this material world until all of his disciples are delivered. He'll come back again and again and again if he has to. That's a bona fide spiritual master. That's a very heavy thing to be a guru. It's not some light thing. Oh, I get some fancy prasadam, get a flower garland, yeah. I donate for my flying here and there. It sounds pretty good. No, it's not like some glamorous thing. It may look like it. It's a very heavy, heavy karmic responsibility to take birth again, birth after birth, to deliver all the disciples if necessary.
Sometimes the disciples turns out to be nonsense. Still, the spiritual master has to come.
If the disciple is a complete nonsense rascal who gives up. I couldn't believe it. One disciple, I gave him an instruction. He said, if you give me that instruction, I reject you as my guru. So I have no karmic responsibility for that rascal. You see? I mean, all I did was ask, your wife hasn't sat for the initiation yoga. Please have your wife come. We're doing a yoga. Please come for the initiation yoga. And his wife didn't want to come. So he said, if you tell me that, I reject you. So the wife is the guru, you see. Wife is his authority, not the spiritual master. He rejected me. So I have no karmic responsibility for him. He cut it. I reject you. He wrote me a letter, I reject you as my guru. All right, I'm free from that karma. I'm not going to... He's on his own. And after that operat, I pity the poor fellow. I'm willing to take him back any time, but he hasn't ever said, please forgive me, please take me back. He's never done it. So it's... pretty pathetic position to be in. How do we overcome lusty desires? By developing love for Krishna. I mean, Krishna consciousness is more satisfying than any amount of lusty enjoyment you may have in this material world. How to increase the quality of chanting? Chant before sunrise. The quality will automatically come before sunrise. How to serve our Guru Maharaj when we do not have any direct instructions from him. Everything he says in his lectures is a direct instruction to you. You are wrong. Everything the spiritual master says in every one of his lectures and anything he has put into writing, it is all a direct instruction to you. So follow it. How to be sincere and serve the Guru effectively. I always think I'm a rascal, nonsense, number one. But my spiritual master is so kind, he's delivering me from this material existence. If you always think like that, your service will be good. Even if you make a few mistakes, you'll be teachable. But if you think you're a big advanced devotee and your spiritual master should be recognizing you for your advancement, you're going to have a hard time serving him effectively. Can listening to lectures replace reading? It's a good option. If you don't have so much reading time, you can play lectures when you're driving to work, or you can hear lectures when you're washing the dishes. But we recommend that everyone should try to, you have to open the books and read sometimes. Even if you just read 15 minutes a day, do it every single day. Put a marker in your Bhagavad Gita and every day read for 15 minutes and just move that marker, and over a month or two, if you do it every day, even for 15 minutes, you can, in a 15-minute program, over the years, you can read all the books. Even 15 minutes a day, but you have to read every day. Prabhupada said, we should all be reading as much as possible these books, always as much as possible. So don't just watch some TV program when you can be reading the books. We have so many Prabhupada books, but what would be the best book to give to a non-devotee so they can take the nectar of Krishna consciousness? I personally like to give the Bhagavad Gita. I like to see the Bhagavad Gita going out, because when you get Bhagavad Gita you've really got Krishna consciousness. It's all there. I prefer the Bhagavad Gita. That's my opinion. And Prabhupada encourages to read all the books. Maharaj, my mother, chants every day 16 rounds and follow other regulated principles, but sometimes she will say, I'm not able to sleep, hence, then bring a pill, let me chant, and I will fall asleep. Sleeping pill? Is it an offense to take a sleeping pill? Is that what they're asking? Taking a... Yeah, I don't. I can't. I've never had to take a sleeping pill. I seem to have the opposite problem. I can fall asleep anywhere, anytime. I have a nature. It's an advantage sometimes. Like on the airplane, you know, get a good sleep. I have a nature like that. So I can't imagine why somebody had to take a pill to go to sleep. There is such a thing, insomnia. I would talk to a doctor or a medical professional and see if there's some way you can, you know. One thing is, maybe she's sleeping too much. If she cuts down her sleep to 5 hours a night, you know, 6 hours a night, 5 hours, she may have no trouble falling asleep when she wants to sleep. Maybe she's sleeping too much. I can't say. This is one of those things you have to look at the details of the situation. Okay, when we say we should not associate with non-devotees, then does that mean we don't do activities that they do? If so, then how do we introduce them to our philosophy? You don't need to... The way we introduce to our philosophy is we preach. We go on the street, or we go door to door, or we have programs. We are missionary. We do missionary activities. We don't have to play football with them in order to preach to them. We can set up a book table outside the football game, and as they come out of the football game, offer them the books and tell them about it. We don't have to do the things they do to preach to them our philosophy. We just have to make ourselves accessible to them by being out there, going to festivals, setting up tables, you know, going door to so many things, door to door. We don't have to do what they do to introduce them to our philosophy. What would you recommend if one has to start house programs for non-devotees? Do we speak the philosophy from day one, or just have kirtan, prasadam, and take it from there? Well, you have to introduce the philosophy in very appropriate doses according to your audience. You can definitely give a little philosophy in the beginning according to what they can relate to.
If you don't give the philosophy, they will be always new.
Yeah. If you don't give them a philosophy, they'll always be new. Is it possible to like all the fellow devotees? Sure. What I try to do, if there's some devotee I had a very, we had some rough, you know, what did I say, a rough interaction with each other, you know, and I've tried to be friendly to that devotee, but every time I approach them, it's like a stone wall. You ever had that experience? So what I do, even though I can't, that devotee won't let me approach them because they have something against me, and apparently there's like a stone wall. Every time I try to be friendly, I feel like I'm going into a stone wall. But what I do is within my heart, I think, yeah, that's my good friend. I just think like that. I cultivate, yeah, that's my buddy. We say, I don't know what they say in Australia, or they say mate over here, I guess. In America, we say my buddy. I think that's my good buddy. I just tell myself not to have any negative. I actually train my mind. Yeah, that's my good friend, my buddy. You know, and that's my buddy. In that way, I train my own mind not to feel anything negative towards anyone. Even if they have a stone wall, I can't actually talk with them or relate with them. But then in my heart, I think, yeah, it's my good friend. That's a little trick I found that really helpful. What if your partner, wife or husband, is a non-devotee, is keeping you away from Krishna consciousness? Well, you have to be strong enough to not let them do that and be Krishna conscious in spite of their trying to keep you away. It's a matter of who's more powerful. They're trying to be powerful to keep you away. You have to be more powerful to come. That's the key. I am a new aspiring devotee. What are the few things mandatory? Well, it depends how new you are. The first thing is chant Hare Krishna and take prasadam. Come and chant with us and have prasadam. That's the first thing. All right. The first thing is you should spend as much time being with us, chanting and taking prasadam as you can. Now, that's the first step. That's the rules. First level one. Associate with as much as possible. Enjoy the prasadam. Enjoy the kirtan. That's it. See you next week. And then as they're ready, you know, this chanting is so wonderful. How can I get more deeply into it? How can I get Namaruchi? You see? When they're ready, you can give up intoxication. If you're not a vegetarian, you can give up, you know. You have to give them as they're, you know, appropriately, as they're ready to move on. Prabhupada didn't introduce rules and regulations in the beginning. He told the devotees, if I told you all the rules and regulations, you would faint. So somehow they get them to chant and take prasadam. That's the first thing. And then as they're ready, they want to get deeper into the process, and you say, well, you know, if you will do this, if you give up, you know, coffee and tea, and try to get your stimulation from Hare Krishna instead of caffeine, you will find a new level of energy you never had before in your whole life. You see what I'm saying? So as they're ready, you take them higher and higher, all the way to initiation, and then all the way to prema bhakti. That's the guru's duty then. And you help the guru to do that. It is sometimes said this material experience for jivas is a dream situation. Can you please explain this phenomenon in which we know this life or material existence is not false? A dream is also real. A man may dream of a beautiful woman and wake up and find that he passed semina. You see? So it's not that a dream is false. A dream is a real experience on the astral plane. It's not false. So it's not that the material existence is real. When we say it's a dream, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. We say it's a dream in the sense that it's not what it appears to be. Just like I many times give the example, you're living in Anchorage, Alaska. It's a long, cold winter up in Anchorage. And you go think, well, there's a cinema playing down there, the cinema house, the Blue Lagoon, about the Fiji Islands. Well, I'm going to go to the Blue Lagoon movie and groove on Fiji in the middle of the Anchorage blizzard. And I'm sitting there, Pacific breezes, you know, beautiful flowers and fruits. And then the movie ends and it's time to go out into the blizzard again. Now, was that movie real? Yeah, the movie was real. There was a real movie playing there. Were you in Fiji? No. But was there a movie screen? Yes. Was there actual light being bounced off the screen from the projector? Yes. Was there a projectionist running the thing? Yeah, that was always real. But it's not what it appeared to be. So in this way, the material world is real, but it's a dream in the sense that it's not what it appears to be. How to remain enthusiastic at all stages. I already said that. Understand that's how you get Krishna's blessings and go for it. How to increase our faith and stay focused. Those 10 items I gave you. Shelter, initiation, obey the spiritual master, follow the previous acharyas, inquire from the guru, be prepared to accept anything or reject anything for Krishna's service, reside in a holy place or make your home into a holy place, accept and deal with the material world only for us as necessary, observe Ekadasi and worship the Tulsi tree. If you'll do these 10 items, your faith will increase and your focus will become more and more intense as you continue practicing Krishna consciousness. How to be happy? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. How to keep everyone happy? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Reading for a short time, 15 minutes between all the things happening around, the 15 minutes or so did not reach the mind. How to improve? Do it every day and it'll get better. The best thing is read at the end of the day when everything is done. You can do it at the very end of the day, the grand finale, the dessert at the end of the meal. You see, the gulab jamun at the end of the meal is my reading time. The wonderful gulab jamun before I go to bed at night. Read from Prabhupada's books. I can dream about Krishna, you see. Or you can read in the early morning. If you put it right in the middle of the day, it can be distracting. I recommend the beginning or the end reading. Now the last question. How to I can't read the handwriting. Oh, here it is, Ruchi, yeah. How do we get Ruchi in the holy name? Well, I gave a long answer for that along at the beginning of the lecture. You have to take this process very seriously, and you have to carefully chant every name day. You have to avoid the offenses. And if you're steady in chanting, work your way. If you're not doing 16, how many are you doing 16 rounds now every day? Raise your hand, the 16 rounders. Okay? So those who are not, gradually increase your chanting to 16. That's the minimum standard given by our founder Acharya that will get you out of Maya. So just like how much time do you have to spend charging your phone every day, there's a certain amount of charge that gives you a full charge to make it through the day. So 16 rounds is a fully charged spiritual battery, you understand? Less than 16, your battery is going to run out in the middle of the day somewhere. You're not going to be surcharged enough to deal with a 24-hour period of Krishna consciousness. So fully charge your spiritual battery. That's 16 rounds, the minimum charge to fully charge your spiritual battery for the day. Work your way up to 16. I know myself, it took me a while to work my way up to 16. It took me about 1 hour. I mean 2 hours, excuse me. It took me 2 hours to work my way up to 16 rounds. In other words, the first day I chanted 16 rounds the first day. So how long do you want to take your work away up to 16? It's how eager you are to get Namaruchi. You don't have to chant 4 rounds for a year, 8 rounds for a year, 12 rounds for a year, and wait for 4 years to stand to 16. You can chant 16 right off the bat. If you can eat every day, you can chant every day. Oh, there may be some extenuating circumstances, maybe you're working 3 jobs and you have 5 kids and your husband, you know, it may be some extenuating circumstances, but that I can understand. So it's on an individual basis, but as a general principle, there's no reason to hold yourself back from chanting 16 rounds right now. There's no reason. 16 rounds is nothing. The people in India chant 120 rounds. There are people chanting 120 rounds every day, Prabhupada said. The 16 rounds is a minimization. Prabhupada told the first devotees 64 rounds. He said, Swamiji, we cannot chant. He said, all right, 32. Swamiji, we cannot chant. All right, 16, but no less than that. This is Prabhupada's special concession. We can't even do 16? Bring yourself to 16 mouths. Do yourself a favor. As soon as possible, come to 16. If you can't do it today, do it tomorrow. 16 mouths. Okay? We thank you all very, very much. I'm just delighted that you've all come today to see how you can achieve Nama Ruchi, and I'm giving you the tips. Now follow the instructions, and I guarantee you, you will achieve Nama Ruchi, each and every one of you. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.